Okay. I play the intro song again.
Check. Professionalism all the way.
I know that. Well, this that's better. The xylophone was on its side. It doesn't really.
It's been a while, Scott Kennedy.
It has been a while. How are you doing, Jane?
Pretty good.
Excellent.
Marveling at the snow on the hills.
Yes. I think the last time we did this, there was snow on the hills, but it was actually winter then.
Yeah.
So it made sense.
Queenstown's had some snow.
Yes. But welcome back to the Scott and Jane Show.
Yeah.
Hopefully our loyal listeners.
My mom and your mom.
Hi, mom. are doing well. But we're back today to talk about a topic that I think is near and dear to both of our hearts. We talked about books last time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's so long ago, I can hardly remember.
I know.
But we're going to talk about music today. And not just music, because we could just talk about music for days, I think. But we're going to talk specifically about some musical things. So what's our plan? Tell the listeners at home, Jay.
So I have this thing where, you know, you're driving along in your car and you hear a song on the radio. And it instantly transports, it's like smell, I suppose, instantly transports you back to somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And I had this thing, this idea years ago where I wanted to write down all the songs that reminded me of people.
Oh, wow.
And tag them on Facebook and get them to do it.
Oh.
So, you know those like chain lettery things
yeah.
that go around?
Yeah.
You know, instead of, oh, these are my qualities, you write down a list of songs and you tag those people in those songs because they probably don't even know that you are reminded of them by those songs.
That's a really good idea.
And it could be people who you were friends with when you were five and they never knew that, you know.
Yeah.
Radiohead's whatever reminds you of them every time you hear it.
Oh wow.
So I think yeah.
That's a very clever idea.
Yeah, and I might do it one day. But
yes.
So yeah, that's kind of the idea, is to talk about those songs that remind you either of a place, a time, a person, or just evoke some kind of memory for you.
Yeah, I mean, to me that's where music is so powerful. It's superpower of like connecting you to memories and to, you know, it for me it forms the emotional thread that goes through everything. That, you know, music is that. So I can't help but, you know, when I hear a song, if I've heard it before, it's like it connects me back to when I first heard it or a time that sort of connects to that.
Yeah.
So.
And how a song for you could mean, you know, it could remind you of somebody's funeral.
Yeah.
And yet that song reminds me of a really amazing holiday.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Totally. And, you know, songs that sound happy sometimes remind me of sad
yeah,
times
yeah.
And vice versa.
Have you got any songs that you can't listen to? You don't have to name them. I've got a couple.
Sort of like they bring back too many
bad
memories.
You just turn
memories.
Them off. Yeah.
I've got a couple artists that when I hear them, they remind me of things that I'm like, oh, I don't want to think about that.
Yeah.
So I just don't.
Yeah.
So that they do not feature on
Avoidance
my list.
Avoidance is good.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be really awkward if my five... were those songs
I
for you.
I ran screaming from the room. I had a really bad time. Reminded me of that boyfriend.
Yeah. So as per usual, Jane and I have no idea what the other's going to talk about. So it could be lots of disagreements or just there might just be five songs.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right. So.
Do you want to kick off?
No, you can start us off.
Oh, okay. I never know how to say this, the name, because I know the song really well, but I only just found out what the name of it was.
Ah.
So it's, is it Elegia by New Order? You'll know it when you hear it.
Yeah.
Basically, it's played in Pretty in Pink, which is a John Hughes film,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I absolutely love it. And it reminds me of a time when all my sister's friends were 4 or 5 years older than me, and they used to bring home John Hughes films, and I wasn't allowed to watch them because they were 15. But they used to let me watch them.
Ooh.
And it was like my entry into their world.
Yeah.
So I remember watching The Breakfast Club for the first time.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it on the side in its little case, in its tape, videotape case, mm-hmm. on the side of my friend's house. And I looked on the back, and there's a picture on the back of the Breakfast Club video that isn't actually in the film.
Right.
And it's, you know, Breakfast Club.
Oh, God.
So the girl with the dark hair who's a bit goth.
Yeah.
There's a picture of her with kind of fangs
right.
in the picture, and it's not in the film.
Oh.
So it freaked me out, and I was really frightened of watching it.
Right.
But my sister was like, you're watching it, because we're watching it.
So you thought it was like a horror movie.
I thought it was a horror movie. So I freaked.
Right.
So yep. Every time I hear that song, the New Order song, it reminds me, and it's in Pretty in Pink, which I absolutely love,
mm-hmm.
but it just transports me back to that
yeah.
day of being really frightened, and actually that film was not anything like
yeah.
what it was.
Well, I mean, those sort of like iconic 80s Brat Pack films
yep.
were just, to me, there's music connecting all of those.
Oh, totally.
And as being a child of the 80s and 90s, it's like those movies bring me back to the music, yeah. and vice versa. Yeah. You know, you can't not hear what's the song at the end of Breakfast Club?
Don't you forget
about me. Yeah. Without thinking of that, you know, yeah. walking through the football field. Yeah. Sort of. No,
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And awesome. You still, when you hear those songs, you still, you kind of, your older mind goes, I want to be rebel, but it's gone.
I know.
I want to dye my hair red.
If you watch the dancing scene in Breakfast Club, it's a bit dated.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a teacher in school who showed us the Breakfast Club in high school, which I thought was kind of subversive
awesome.
For a teacher.
Yeah.
He was my maths teacher as well. Nothing to do with anything. I think it was the 90s. He was just, he's boning it in.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. My first song is actually kind of related to school as well. Is "Smells Like Teen Spirit" by Nirvana.
Ooh.
Yeah, quite a well-known song for the listeners out there. If you haven't heard it yet, look it up. Yeah, but I have this really specific memory of hearing that song for the very, very first time, and it was in school. I would have been in junior high school, or maybe junior high school, and this is sort of showing my age and the age of the song as well. I first heard it borrowing one of my friend's headphones on his Sony Sports Walkman tape. And he's like, I've just heard this. I just got this new album. You've got to hear this song. And he sort of gave me this tape earphone. I plugged it into one ear. And so I heard it in one ear. And it just completely changed my view of music forever. Because up until then, I was listening to like Def Leppard and Motley Crue and really bad 80s metal sort of stuff, and it was like, oh my goodness, this has totally changed everything. And it just completely changed my outlook on music and art and kind of life, because yeah. it's like that whole, I hate to say grunge movement, but that like DIY anybody can be an artist movement started, and all of a sudden it seemed completely achievable for a suburban Canadian kid to go and make art, where before it was like completely out of reach, because it's like you had to be the world's best guitar player and have leather pants and massive hair, yeah. which was not me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love that song.
Yeah.
So much.
The first like 2 seconds of it brings you back to that time.
Yeah. And you want to, and I don't care where you are or how old you are. I think everyone wants to start jumping up and down or run around.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we all wanted to be in that high school that trashes the school dance at the end of the
video.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should play it at board meetings, I reckon.
They should.
At the start.
Yeah.
It'd like sort out the rough from the smooth.
Definitely would do that.
I love
okay.
it.
Song number two.
Okay, number two is The Bad album by Michael Jackson. I got it when I was 8 for Christmas. A little tape. And you know what you used to do with the tape? You'd pull out the inside notes
yeah.
and you'd go through them with a fine tooth comb and see if, you know, they said, this is for Jane, which obviously me and Michael don't go way back. Yeah, one day. But I remember I got The Bad Michael Jackson album. I got a sleeping bag and I got a Walkman, and I lay on my bedroom floor in my sleeping bag and slept in it on the floor for about 2 weeks, listening to my Bad album every night. My mum used to come in and tell me off because it was late and I was still listening to it. But I hear The Way You Make Me Feel on the radio and I instantly transported back to lying on the floor in my sleeping bag, listening to it. And I just love that album. It's just so my time.
Yeah.
And I think I felt slightly adult because I was only 8, but... Mm-hmm. It just takes me back so much. And I'm being kind of images of I got really into WWF when I was there.
Right, that's yeah. a whole new podcast.
I know, and there was watching WWF and playing Nintendo.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I was into WWF as well.
Yeah.
But to me, I'll always associate Cyndi Lauper with WWF.
There you go.
Yeah. But no, those classic Michael Jackson albums were just amazing at the time, especially. And it was like, this was when I think people kind of forget that there was a time when he wasn't a weirdo.
Yeah.
When he was just amazing.
Yeah.
So amazing. And those albums really kind of united everyone. Like everyone loved, you know, Bad and Thriller and all those
yeah.
things. And it was like, I remember watching the Thriller video on TV when it was like a special, like the night of premiere.
Being a bit freaked out.
Yeah. Oh, totally. It's amazing.
Yeah.
No, and it's, I think maybe people don't do that as much these days. I don't know, like getting an album the night it, or day it comes out, and just lying on your floor and
listening to it. I think I just buy single songs just because I like them. Mm-hmm. I haven't bought an album in a long time.
Yeah.
Where I've sat and listened to it over.
Well, I think, you know, now we live in this age of like streaming music where I'm not sure how much music anyone will ever own again.
No, I know.
Well, just live on a cloud.
Yeah.
And it's like, a friend of mine put it really well the other day. They were like, if I ever stop subscribing to Spotify, I'll lose all my music.
Yeah.
Like, I just won't have any.
Yeah.
Which is kind of terrifying. Yeah, like, we're locked into Spotify for life.
Yeah, it really is terrifying.
Interesting. Okay, for my second song, I'm going to go a bit deeper back into my childhood. So this is me about age 5. And the first album I ever got, and by album, I think it was a tape, would have been a tape, was Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. And this was like this very life-changing moment. I'm not that old. It was quite an old album when I got it. But my parents gave it to me because the first concert I ever went to is my mom took me to a Beach Boys concert, which was really cool. I was about 5 years old and I really liked it. And so mom bought me this album and I had like a Walkman, sports Walkman thing. And I had a swing set in my backyard and I would listen to this album like for hours on end and just swing on the swing set. So when I hear Good Vibrations and like classic Beach Boys, it just reminds me of being a kid.
Yep.
And this like freedom of no responsibility whatsoever. Yep. Which is really great. And now going back and listening to that song especially, it's probably the most influential song I can think of for me as a musician. It's like that everything I do has been trying to make that song again.
Yeah.
Really unsuccessfully.
You can't do the Beach Boys.
No,
ever.
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just that's always resonated with me, that song, even more than like Beatles and Stones and stuff. Yeah. Like that. It's always been the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
So
my number 3 is a Beach Boys song.
Excellent.
Self high five. The Beach Boys, to me, just reminded me of my dad. Like, it was always on in my house. It was on. We used to do a long drive out to, or like if we went to the seaside or whatever at weekends, you would have the Beach Boys playing the whole way there and the whole way back.
Wow.
Little bit of Neil Diamond, Neil Sedaka slotted in there, but it was always the Beach Boys. So mine is Do It Again by the Beach Boys.
Yep.
Now, I think this is, and I might try and play it for you, because I think this is the best beginning of a song ever. It's like, I want to say it's really sexy, and it is. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's never, ever been done. Let's see if this works. I don't want an ad. Don't play me an ad.
Oh, that would be awkward.
Let's see if it works.
I'll commentate. Jane is currently messing around with her phone trying to find a song.
Is it going to work? Come on.
We can do this.
Come on. It's just going to ruin it for me.
Oh.
It's going to ruin
it. We're getting there.
Anyway, it's... I think it's just amazing. And it just every time I hear it or I hear a Beach Boys song, it just reminds me of my dad.
It's a good start.
It's like, I think it's just one of the most, when you hear it really loud,
yeah,
and it's just that noise,
yeah,
it just makes me go, oh, it's my dad.
Yeah. There's speaking of loud music, I was reading a thing recently. They were talking about how your brain reacts to music. And how there's something to do with loud music that changes the chemical reaction in your brain when you hear music. So there's actually, listening to music loud is actually important to the enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
And that connects to those emotions of it all. Did you see the Beach Boys movie?
I was just thinking of that when you spoke about the Beach Boys. I need to.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's worth checking out.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah, it's not, maybe not the definitive thing.
No, because I really like Paul Dano. Is it Paul Dano?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's always plays crazy parts.
They did this interesting thing where he played Brian Wilson at the start as a young man, and then John Cusack played him as an older man, where I think they should have just kept Paul Dano in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, put a bit of makeup on him. If they can make Brad Pitt into Benjamin Button, they can make Paul Dano 10 years
on,
older.
Come on, people.
Yeah, remake it.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, my third choice is Fake Plastic Trees by Radiohead. Very, very, very special song. Very beautiful song. And for me, this song holds some really specific memories of being in art school. And when I was in art school, I did photography. And this was back in the analog photography days, so film and dark rooms and all that sort of stuff. And we had this dark room in the school where we'd all go and print pictures, mostly into the wee hours of the night. And we had a stereo in there, which, well, by stereo, it was like a boom box. And we all took turns putting in our mixtapes. And this was one of my sort of go-to songs and go-to albums. You know, the bends by Radiohead was just amazing. Actually, everything Radiohead is amazing. But that song especially, like, really takes me back to being there at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning printing pictures and in the dark. So it's, you know, has this, it doesn't associate with any specific photography or anything, but just that feeling of artistic creation. So, oh, it's such a good song.
Being 16, that's where I've been at college.
Yeah. And it's, I feel like Radiohead as a band is, you know, they've grown as artists, as those of us who were, you know, teenagers in that era have grown with them. So it's like, they feel kind of, everything feels very contemporary and very now.
Yeah.
It must be really interesting to talk to someone who's a teenager now, like, what do they think of that band?
Yeah.
You know, is it, are they out of step with where they are? Do they think of them in a different way?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Totally.
Who knows? We could do a podcast on Radiohead.
We could. Yeah. We really could. Yeah. Okay. My fourth is my first record that I bought, which was physical by Olivia Newton-John.
Wow.
And I, when I look back now, I don't even know how old I was. I was very young, probably about 5 or 6, maybe.
Right.
Random. When I look back at the video now, I'm like, why was I allowed to buy
that? Yeah. There's a very thinly veiled metaphor
really
in there.
I don't understand why, one, I had access to that song or what that was about. But I remember... I called it physical because I couldn't say physical. So now whenever my mum hears it, that's what she thinks. But I remember dancing and playing it over and over and over and over. And, you know, that whole period of time around when you go through, you either go to dance lessons or you don't. I did and then got thrown out because I was rubbish. Mm-hmm. So I used to just go and mess about. But I remember being in a leotard and dancing around to that song. And then I got it on record. And I was just so, even now I listen to it and I'm just transported back to being really, really, really little.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my sister dancing around in the front room to it, and my sister doing the splits and stuff like that. And I never could.
did you ever wear a tape out when you were a kid? Like, were you listening to a song and rewind?
Wear it out?
Yeah.
Oh, I must have done. I must have.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still, like, the record I've got, it's somewhere at home, and I'd love to get it because it's probably scratched as hell. But that song just... whenever I hear it, I just go, oh my God.
Mm. Did you have more records or more tapes as a kid?
Probably records.
Yeah.
Because I remember getting New Kids on the Block album.
As an album.
On a record.
Yeah.
And having a massive stack of records in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it kind of rolled over into tapes, which was probably where the bad thing came into.
Yeah.
Because I got bad on a tape.
Right.
And I was like, woo. Ah. And I didn't get CDs for yonkers.
Can you remember your first album, like record, tape, and CD?
I can remember Bross. Did you have Bross?
Yes.
In Canada?
Yes.
Bross was my first record.
They're reforming, apparently.
I heard that. Actually, the Olivia Newton-John was my first record. My first tape, I think, was actually bad. And my first CD was Pulp, the Pulp album.
Oh, Common
album.
People.
Yeah, the album that came out. Yeah.
Wow. That's
and,
a, that's
and
good.
You?
That's okay. First tape would have been Beach Boys.
Yeah.
It's first album record probably would have been just stuff stolen from my parents' record collection, which I think they had like a Beatles compilation with, you know, it's one of those just greatest hits sort of things. I remember like loving that. First CD was Hysteria by Def Leppard.
Oh, nice.
And I remember my mom was like really scared that I was getting into heavy metal. And I got like a Def Leppard t-shirt and she wouldn't let me wear it to school.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Badass.
I love it.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
My next one is the song Teardrop, which is originally by Massive Attack. But it's actually a cover version of it by a singer called Newton Frank Frankenreiter, Franken something.
Frankenfurter.
Frankenfurter, Franken. I'll check that as I'm talking here. And that it's a really iconic song, and it's become more iconic because it was used as like the opening theme for House and all that stuff. But a really amazing Mass Attack song, and the memory that's so clear of that song has nothing to do with when the original came out. It was years later. I was at Burning Man Festival in the States, and it was the last day of Burning Man. Everything was finishing up. We were all packing up to leave, and somebody was playing a stereo, massive stereo, off in the desert, and this song came on, this cover version of this Massive Attack song, just as like, it was kind of the surreal scene of everyone taking all their stuff away and massive bonfires, people just burning stuff that's just going to get left there, and art that's sort of the ashes of art burning, and almost a surreal post-apocalyptic scene as things are kind of returning back to the desert, but people walking around wearing like feather boas and tutus and yeah. stuff out of Mad Max, and this surreal combination of sort of peace and serenity and madness. So that song will always hold that for me, of that alchemy of chaos and order.
Yeah.
All wrapped up into one acoustic song.
Would you go back to Burning Man?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think it will never be what it was? Have you been once?
I've been once.
Yeah.
I've been once. And I think it's easy to look back and on events like that. You could say the same thing about Glastonbury or Winter Festival. It's like, it's never going to be what it was in the good old days. But everyone's good old days is different from everyone else's.
Absolutely.
So I would go back and it would be different, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Change is okay.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite a misunderstood event and festival. People think it's one thing that might be hedonistic or, you know, whatever you want to think about it. But I think of it as this amazing gathering of interesting people with amazing art.
Yeah.
So
I'd love to go.
I'd go back in a flash.
Yeah.
Right.
We should hang out more, because my number five is Mezzanine by Massive Attack.
Wow.
We should hang out and listen to music.
We should.
Yeah. So about 97, 98 for me, music-wise, which was kind of like Mezzanine, OK Computer, Urban Hymns by The Verve.
Yeah.
That era, I am stuck in 1997. I listen to that era so much. And it just reminds me of being, I was 17, 18. And for me, I was always into music, but I was never into alternative music.
Yeah.
Till I was probably about 16, 17, 18, when I was just exposed to all this music, like the Pixies and all that kind of stuff. And I would, without her kind of throwing me in amongst all this music, I would never have heard it. And I think Mezzanine to me is just such a, the front cover's scary because it's black and it's an insect and it's all a bit weird.
It's that weird like scorpion thing.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. And I just heard it and was just, you know, when music just makes you feel so not like yourself and unlocks all that like real deep, darky, creative stuff in your brain that you've never been exposed to in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Because high school tries to get rid of all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it just, like, my brain exploded. And I just used to lie and listen to it on the floor.
Yeah.
And it's dark. It's so dark. Such a dark album. But it's so beautiful and amazing.
Yeah. I think it's albums like that that sort of, like, there's all, like, the people that ostracize people in high school, like the freaky weirdo people. And it's, you hear albums like that for the first time and you're like, hold on, that's the album those people are making.
Yeah.
And this is cool. And it blows your mind. It's like, I have no desire to be one of the cool kids anymore.
No.
I want to hang out with the weirdos, you know, smoking behind the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I loved it. And I spent the whole summer listening to those. Like, I got really into Tricky and I spent the whole summer just going on holiday. Me and my sister had no money and we just ended up going away and going on holidays and just hanging out and listening to music and just smoking and getting drunk. And it was just, I had like my 17, 18th year was so amazing. Mm-hmm. I remember them being so amazing and going back to uni and being like, oh my God, my world's exploded. Like totally opened my eyes to stuff.
Well, I think the music that you listen to when you're 16, 17, 18 is probably the music that sticks with you and influences you for the rest of your life. And I feel so fortunate that the music that was exploding everywhere when I was that age was grunge and Britpop and like early electronica, not early electronica, but like, you know, rave scene, all that sort of stuff. So it's like the golden age of all these amazing artists was at the time when my musical brain was like a sponge.
Yeah.
You know, it's I couldn't imagine how shitty it would be to be going through that sort of sponge brain era when like disco was king and being forced to be into disco for the rest of your life. Or like, you know,
I quite like disco.
Well, that's thank you for joining us on the podcast. You know, it's yeah, and that to me that will always be this time capsule of a classic era of music where it just that brings me musically home.
Yeah.
And the fact that it sort of keeps resonating with people is awesome. It just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, my fifth choice. It might be a slightly obscure choice for some of our listeners. The song is called Scared and it's by a Canadian band called The Tragically Hip. Yes.
I knew they'd come up somewhere.
Yeah, they were going to come up eventually. Now, The Tragically Hip is a very well-known band in Canada. They're one of those bands that we all expected and wanted them to achieve international stardom and success. They were sort of our greatest export, we thought. But for whatever reason, because of timing or whatever, they never really got big. And I put big in inverted commas.
I've never heard of them.
No. But they're the biggest band in Canada by far. They've outsold the Beatles and the Rolling Stones in Canada. So they're huge. Absolutely huge. But they never really got anywhere. And they became this... That became almost a point of like, well, why doesn't everybody like our music? For years and years and years, Canadians almost got a chip on their shoulder because of it. But it's only in recent times where we've kind of, as Canadians, sort of went, oh, actually, they're ours. And we're really happy.
They're darlings.
Yeah, they're our sort of darlings.
Yeah.
And what sort of brings this into focus now is what's happened in the last sort of year or so with this band, where the Gord Downie, who's the lead singer of the band, has been diagnosed with brain cancer, a very aggressive form of terminal brain cancer. And they did one last tour across Canada to sort of probably wave goodbye as a band while he goes and gets treatment. And it shot me back to this song Scared, which came out in '94, I think. So kind of at the height of their success and fame, and it's this very, very poignant kind of slow acoustic guitar song. But I remember when I found out that Gord, the singer, was ill, the first thing I thought of was, "Wow, I'm really scared. I don't want to lose this icon of my youth and my musical evolution." So my mind immediately went back to that song. So that even this is a relatively recent memory, but that song will forever be associated with that moment of finding out that he's unwell. So it's kind of, it's very fresh memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard them. When you talked about the concert, I was like, I don't know, who the hell are these people?
Yeah. And I don't know if people can, if you haven't experienced them as a band for all this time, it may be too late to sort of jump on the train. I mean, the music is great. And I think the music is universally great. But the social and cultural connection, I don't know. It'd be like explaining the Rolling Stones to someone who'd never heard them before.
But I don't think, like in the UK, I don't think we've got the Stone Roses springs to mind, but I don't think that playing the Stone Roses on a concert wouldn't bring a country together.
Yeah.
Do you know? I don't know if we've got somebody who nobody else knows about.
Yeah.
That's just so ingrained in a country.
Yeah.
That everyone else goes, who? But we all go, oh, we know.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is that.
I was trying to think of it in New Zealand terms and maybe Dave Dobbin.
Something
like that. Yeah. In Australian terms, maybe like Midnight Oil.
Yeah.
Those sort of classic era bands. It's hard to put it into a UK or US context because everything big there goes big everywhere.
Yeah.
Where, you know, places like Canada and Australia, New Zealand, we don't have that luxury or that thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love it. I'm going to go and listen.
You should. Do you know, I was thinking as we were talking, we should actually attach like a Spotify playlist to this.
We will put
the music on.
We will do that.
Yeah. We haven't talked about this before, so I'm hoping that may or may not happen. We may be editing that out.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Nice.
And if you have your favorites, people.
Yes.
Give them to us.
Yes. Find us on the interwebs.
Educate us.
Yes. It suggests things. And, you know, I think as we've been saying, it's like, it's the stories that connect these songs that make it interesting. So, you know, I think we want to hear people's stories what brings them to this music. Because I know when I hear the songs that you've talked about now, it's going to change how I think about them. And yeah, we'd like to do that with more people.
Awesome.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes. Right. Anything else you want to add, Jane?
I think we're done.
I think we're done.
I think I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been emotional. Hold on, I have to get the xylophone.
Yeah, get the xylophone. Boom, 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 boom.
Just hold on 1 second. All right, are ready? Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
We'll see you next time. I'm sure sometime sooner this time.
Yeah, for sure.
And if listeners out there have any ideas or suggestions of stuff you want us to talk about or talk to or anything,
yeah,
let us know.
Yeah.
We're here for you guys.
We're here for you.
All right. Bye.
Au revoir.